Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. It is Tuesday, July 14th, 2026, at 10 a.m., and we have, as per usual on Tuesday mornings, an hour of talk and tune, mostly talk, but as also per usual, we're going to start off today with a bit of local music. This one is coming from none other than the Golden Age of Wrestling, local Glambian artist, coined by the Golden Age of Wrestling themselves. And this is off of their latest album of the name of Sweet Chin Music. This one's called Friendship Cove. We'll be right back. We're back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Friendship Cove by the Golden Age of Wrestling. And I thought that track did a good job of leading us into the next topic of discussion, which is a gallery exhibition that I attended last Friday by the name of Interglacial. This was at the Reach Gallery Museum. It was spearheaded by environmental artist, based in Vancouver, Desiree Patterson. Interglacial is an exhibition that is focusing on the present moment of the global climate crisis, and not just referring to, you know, the degradation of our climate, but also the hope that comes with all of the people working towards making the planet habitable, making it livable, making it something that is worth appreciating and something that needs to be appreciated. The centerpiece of the exhibition is a massive installation. It is a 2,000 square foot structure of textile cyanotypes that kind of mimic the shape of a glacier. And the textiles themselves have been exposed directly onto glacial surfaces during Desiree Patterson's time at Place Glacier in 2025. Interglacial is the culmination of Desiree Patterson's year-long affiliation as the artist in residence with the UN International Year of Glaciers Preservation Project. Her participation in this initiative emerged a series of partnerships with leading Canadian environmental scientists, including Dr. Laura Kasmer, an associate professor in the Department of Geography at Western Ontario, Dr. Allison Cristiello, an ice core scientist, Dr. Lori Daniels, the corner chair in the Department of Forest and Conservation Sciences at UBC, Dr. Eric Higgs, an environmental studies professor at the University of Victoria, Natalie Crizon, Masters of Geography student in Lethbridge, Dr. Sean Marshall, climatologist, Dr. Brian Menenos, leading glaciologist. The list goes on and on and on. There were so many people involved with the creation of this exhibition. And Desiree, throughout the tour for this exhibition, referred to them as muses for each section of each display, which I thought was really interesting. You know, as much as she was someone who was having to learn about all of these things firsthand by scientists in a world that she is maybe not as familiar with, they also had to, I guess, equip themselves with the fact that they were also going to be part of this art exhibition, which is a world that they really don't know much about either. And I thought that was a very, very interesting dichotomy. So I spoke with her about that. I spoke with her about the exhibition at large, and more importantly, what and who she does this all for. Please take a listen to our interview with Desiree Patterson, exhibiting artist for Interglacial.
Sure. My name is Desiree Patterson, and I'm a multidisciplinary artist living and working on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh Nations in Vancouver. I have, for the past year and a bit, been very privileged to have the title of Artist in Residence with the United Nations International Year of Glaciers Preservation, as well as moved into the Artist in Residence for the for the Decade of Action for Cryospheric Sciences. And basically, I am an environmental advocate and artist, and this is my show, Interglacial.
Mm-hmm. Can you just give a quick overview of what is around us this show for those that have yet to see it?
Excellent, sure. So Interglacial is a solo exhibition that is debuting five new bodies of work that I've created during these residencies. And the heart of the creations have all been through scientific collaboration. And essentially, the viewer experience has been designed into these different sections, which are thematically these key components of this interglacial epoch. And I basically approach this as each scientist that I have had the privilege to learn from and do field work with, I've kind of created works as they're my muse, as interpretations of the research they do, as well as the landscapes through their eyes. And the kind of goal, underlying goal of all of this is really to create an opportunity to bridge academia with public audiences. I feel that is really needed in this moment. And also carry forth a lot of the information that I've had the privilege to learn firsthand, and bring that through to viewers through aspects of aesthetic, kinetic properties embedded in work, multi-sensory installations that are initiating our responses of sound, smell, touch, and really try to thoughtfully, I think, replicate some of the elements of these different landscapes as well. And so we've divided it into the sections of time, wildfire, ice, and water. And within each area, there are multiple sculptural installations, but they all kind of have this dialogue between each other. And they're all kind of this kind of, I think, full portrayal of different key aspects of these researchers, of their work and of their message to public audiences, but also reflective of their methodologies in the field, and just, I think, a bit of my own experience deconstructed into what I felt would be a really great portrayal for public audiences.
In that sense, then, you know, working with researchers as closely as you do you see yourself as like a science communicator then? Is this exhibition kind of a way of making data and the science around climate change accessible for just the average person that may not be as aware or knowledgeable?
I love the way you worded that. I think I might think of myself as that. I've referred to myself often as like a translator, and simply because I don't have a background in academia. So I feel like I've really tried to sift through a lot of complicated metrics and graphs and papers and all of these things. And funnily enough, that's actually always been my process as a creative. And it has been this really interesting full circle moment to see that, you know, this translation is actually something that is really valued by the scientific community. I've had so many really eminent scientists thank me for what I'm doing and really instill in me the sense and validate that my process and kind of my ambition to try to bring this work through a new lens is actually a lot of what this moment needs. Because I think a lot of the situations that we're facing with the environmental situations at hand, intellect is only going to take humanity so far. It is our hearts that are going to move us and drive us to rise to this moment and to the call that we have. And this exhibition is primarily, even on the introduction didactic, this is dedicated to my daughter. I have a 6-year-old daughter. Her name is Meadow. And it is really my concern for her future and future generations after, what they're inheriting. And I think one of the most beautiful aspects of this past year and of my experience is approaching all of this wanting to bring forth information and empower and engage and rally. I'm also absolutely bursting with hope in this moment. And it's because I've just spent a year working alongside and personally, you know, being able to engage with these researchers that are essentially providing the blueprints and, you know, the policy and all the information required to have a more hopeful future. I just got to hang out with them for a year and see the kind of people doing this work. So another key component of this communication is also to help restore the faith in science. And I think by trying to humanize that and share this research in a different way, but also through the video didactics and the interviews that we have accompanying every single section that really do highlight these researchers and these scientists and their life's dedication work, I really hope that that is also communicated through this exhibition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna ask you about the hope aspect specifically, because, you know, there are parts of this exhibition that do provide like this outlook of hope regarding our current climate, but
At the same time, you also see photos and images of wildfires and 100 years of difference between glacial landscapes. It wouldn't surprise me if someone saw that and immediately their hope is kind of like gone, just from looking at that alone. So where do you suggest, or where do you find hope in the work that you do that looks so closely at climate change and how things have unfortunately progressed in the past century?
I find hope in people. I find hope in humans. And it's really beautiful to say that, because I often hear people say, oh, look at what humans have done to this planet, we don't deserve this world, and notions like that. But I don't buy that at all. I see people doing selfless work. I see scientists, you know, taking time away from their families to do extensive field work across summers, and these inherently creative people and curious people devoting their life to understanding one little part of an ecosystem. That gives me hope, to see people that filled with love and that filled with passion. It gives me hope to have conversations with other like-minded Canadians and understand that they carry the same kind of concerns that I do. Having a 6-year-old daughter is, I think, hope. You know, the youth of this generation are weighted with, I think, a lot of complicated situations that they've inherited, but I think they're rallying, and what I see, like the Greta Thunbergs of the world, that gives me hope. And I think also just like knowing from a lot of the different high-level researchers that I have had the privilege to speak with, there are fundamental feedback systems in nature that allow this planet to be so regenerative. And we haven't breached that yet. So in this moment, I have hope, because we can change the trajectory that we're on. That's a fact. That isn't an opinion or an optimistic view. It is a cold, hard fact. What we need is that political will, and what we need is that we need that conviction for everybody to stand up and demand it right here, right now. And I think it's coming, and I think it's going to happen. And as an individual, this show is just my way of helping, trying to foster that.
Mm-hmm. Another question I had was, you know, that when we went through each section of this exhibition, you kind of named every single section as having its own muse. And, you know, working with science, scientific researchers, I'd imagine as much as you initially weren't as familiar with, like, their scientific process, they probably also weren't familiar at all with how exhibitions or art galleries work. How did they feel about being, like, direct inspirations for how this exhibition was put together?
That is such a great question. They're all such modest people, so they've all been kind of, I think, really curious to see this portrayal. But like you said, we come from different worlds, and you know, an analytical brain is often firing different thoughts and different ways of seeing than a creative brain. So to me, and to many of them, it's a really beautiful partnership. It really kind of enhances the ability to tell a story and to communicate, I think, in a fuller, richer way. But I think I haven't had the opportunity for them to actually see their work yet. And I'm really looking forward to that moment, to actually just looking into their eyes and just seeing how they receive what my contemporary translation of them as a researcher is. And I think just from the conversations that I've had, even just from doing the field work, they're really excited about it. You know, most of scientific findings is communicated through papers circulated amongst academic institutions and in those communities. And it almost, you know, compared to like the public audiences, it's almost like an esoteric language. And so I think they're really excited to see how art can kind of bridge that, and how engagement can be fostered through different means than intellect, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. In saying that, the last question I had, it might be a bit of a loaded one, but for those who do attend this exhibition, Is there a central takeaway that you hope audiences have when looking at this as a whole?
Yeah. Well, there's a few. I hope people take the time to just experience the work for themselves. I hope that people have the opportunity to watch some of the interviews and have the opportunity to form a sense of trust with the people who are sharing this really important information of this moment with us, the experts that know these ecosystems, that know these dynamics, these feedbacks, these models, these forecasts, and have that time and space to discern for themselves, you know, what they resonate with and what they feel educated by. And then I hope that what this shows as an exhibition as a whole is an act of advocacy. So as an individual, I started getting involved in environmentalism before it ever permeated into my practice. And I realized early on, you know, I'm marching in climate rallies, I've, you know, became a vegetarian, I've lowered my carbon footprint, all these kinds of things. And I know that the notion is like, oh, well, that's so much, but really does it have an impact? And you know what? It does have an impact on your health, for sure. There's a positive, because anything I've ever done environmentally focused has actually benefited my health. But does it affect, you know, greenhouse gas emissions by large? Probably not. But it has affected my mental health. It has affected me feeling positive and feeling accountable to the future. But I realized that the loudest voice that I would have as an individual is through my creative practice. So what this show is an individual citizen who is just trying to use the unique skills that they have to communicate something really important to their heart. We all have the capacity to do this. We all have unique skill sets. We all have passion that we carry in our heart, and we have a voice that we need to use for those who don't have one. That's what I hope the takeaway is. Whatever it is, whatever calls you to your heart and soul, and whatever you have as your unique talents, your gifts, your place in this world, we need everybody in this moment to stand up, and we need everybody to voice, and we need everybody to advocate for the future that we want.
Once again, that was our interview with Desiree Patterson, exhibiting environmental artist at the Reach Gallery Museum for her brand new exhibition, Interglacial. You can go check it out anytime from, well, now to March 20th, 2027. So it's going to be on for quite a while. You have a lot of time to go check it out. It is in Abbotsford, BC. We're going to take one more music break. This one is from a local band, one that performed very recently at the Catalano Street Festival here in Vancouver. This is Concrete Vehicles with I'll Follow. Expectations.
love.
Once again, that was Concrete Vehicles with I'll Follow. And if you weren't awake up until this point, I hope you are now. This is Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM with your host for the hour, Danny Nezvedarani. We're about halfway through this episode of Speak Up, and we're going to be bringing you all the way up north to Smithers, BC, for a piece from fellow LJI journalist Pamela Hassan. Hope you enjoy.
This is CICK News. As I approached CICK's train car on Wednesday of this week, an otherworldly sound emanated from the lounge car. Walk in and see a group of children are sitting anywhere they can find, each with a synthesizer on their lap, playing only the white keys for an ambient jam led by professional musicians Maddie J and Josh Spack from LA, along with Telco Elementary's music teacher Brennan Anderson. Maddie J is a producer, artist, and multi-instrumentalist based in Los Angeles. Originally from Smithers, BC, she's toured with notable artists such as Remy Wolf, Lord, and Summer Walker, and has contributed to Grammy Award-winning albums. Maddie and Josh are teaching something called Synth School, which is teaching children to teach anyone else in the Valley how to play synthesizer for the fall's newest and bloopiest club out of Telqua Elementary. This is music teacher Brennan Anderson, as I was speaking to him outside of Synth School while they were on a break.
Okay, so we are having a synth club next year at Telqua Elementary School for the whole community of Smithers and Telqua and Hazleton and Houston to come. And so right now we're training some mentors, some children, to come in and really learn how to use some of the synthesizers that we have collected at Telqua Elementary School over the course of the last 4 years. And they're using these Yamaha CSs. And they're going to learn from Maddie J, who is based out of Los Angeles, and her partner Josh.